Welcome to the Create Your Shape podcast. I'm Jenny, the nutritionist, and I'll be teaching you the strategy, structure, and science to build muscle and decrease body fat, specifically for ladies who work out. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Create Your Shape podcast. Today, I have a fabulous friend who's also my coach and personal trainer that we're going to talk about all things training, but specifically bridging the gap between injuries and rehabbing in performance. So I met Matt 4 years ago now here in Bali, maybe a little longer than that, at a CrossFit gym. Of course, it's where I meet a lot of people. And since then, we just stayed connected. And then when we came back to Bali, I knew he was doing personal training. And then I knew that you had a specialty with rehabbing. And then you guys have heard about my injuries that I worked through. So he's really helped me work through all of that, in addition to building back muscle and just feeling like an athlete again, which we're still in the process of doing, but we can talk about all of that. But first, can you just introduce yourself and just briefly share who you are?
Yeah. Well, hello. My name is Matt, but everyone calls me Coach Bolts. And I've been in the health and fitness industry for going on 14 years now. And what really got me into it was the military. I wasn't particularly fit prior to joining the military, but that was something that I had to do to I had to become fitter, had to become healthier to join the military. So that was one of the obstacles that I had to overcome. And then I really found in the military was where I found the passion for training people, and actually started working with injured soldiers in the military and helping them, you know, with their rehab protocols and stuff like that in the military. And I found that that was a really, really interesting category of people to work with, alongside working with soldiers and getting them ready for operational tour and whatever. But the actual soldiers that are returning from operational tour injured, and the guys that were getting ready that also get injured, that just found that really fascinating. But fast forward 8 years. After 8 years in the military, I started traveling the world, coaching in different CrossFit gyms and helping other people get fit and healthy and improving their lifestyles. And then 4 years ago, me and my wife and I, Henem,
she'll be on the podcast too.
Yeah. She'll be on the podcast as well. We moved to Bali and we didn't really know what we were going to do, but when we settled here, we realized that there was a gap in the market for good quality, healthy food, which you may think is a bit weird because Bali has this image of health all over the place. But there was a gap between it. Like there's good food, but there's not good and healthy food.
For the specific people like us who, if you're listening to this podcast too, like you need protein.
Yeah.
Right? And you actually want carbs. Yep. And like having real foods is great, but what about a little more specific with macros? I feel like
there was this gap of like the protein pancakes would have like 7 grams of protein and like 75 grams of carbs.
Yes.
And you know, people ordering smoothie bowls but not realizing that it was just like 4 bananas, like 200 yes. grams of blueberries, and just an absurd amount of fruit that you wouldn't be able to eat if you were just eating fruit. So we saw that there was a gap, and we own and operate 2 macro kitchens here in Bali. And I also operate Athlete GPP, which is our online strength and conditioning and prehab and performance training coaching program.
Yeah, amazing. And so just because I know people are wondering, like, he's got an accent, because most of my audience is from the States. Like, where is he from? What brought him to Bali? So just quickly tell us, where are you from?
Well, I am from cold and miserable England.
Love it.
Moved around quite a bit. Not many people can place my accent. They know it's English. Moved around a lot. My dad was in the army as well, so there's that. And being in the army, I had a lot of friends from all over, so you know, just pick up little bits of accents as well from there.
And then you also, after the military, you moved to Qatar, right?
Yes, was in the Middle East in Qatar, and that's where Henem and I met through CrossFit.
Yep.
CrossFit has a way of making people meet and stuff. So I was in that's where I was running and operating a gym out there and helping people through CrossFit and stuff. And, you know, it was a really interesting time in Qatar because the expat community had, you know, this underlying knowledge of health and fitness, but really bringing it to the national community, bringing up the awareness of health and fitness to Qatari nationals and stuff was really great.
And I know that I know who you work with, but I think it'd be beneficial for everyone else to hear who you work with. And specifically what we're going to talk about today, what I think would be helpful for my audience, like one, injuries are bound to happen, right? At some point, especially if you push yourself, that may be a part of the journey. So whether you are injured right now, or maybe you have a nagging injury, or you just want to perform better, I think this conversation will be beneficial for you. But also just to keep in mind for down the road, I feel like most of my ladies are in their 30s, 40s, or even 50s. And I don't like that there's this stigma that as you get older, you know, get injuries and stuff. But I just think you have more time to get injuries, right?
Yes.
So even if right now you feel like you're not injured, I would still listen to this for, because we're going to talk about preventative things and really just everything related to performance and improving your performance in the gym. So can you just share, who do you mainly work with now?
So right now it's mostly highly driven, high performers. You know, they're very goal orientated. Not many clients are quote unquote flaky.
Yeah.
But you know, they're very highly driven personalities, which if you think about that mindset in a professional setting, that also translates to everything else that they do. So, you know, with training, it would be a sense of pushing to the limits and then getting injured because of pushing, because they're very driven, goal orientated. And so eventually it might lead to something like an injury that, you know, it's just, if there's a gap between knowing where to go and how hard to push and how long to push that, that intensity. But yeah, so mostly, you know, highly driven, high performers, 35 plus, 40 plus mostly, that are, you know, looking to gain back some athleticism. You know,
yeah,
they're kind of sick and tired, of just having these aches and pains and wanting to train hard or wanting to improve function for a variety of other aspects of their life, but just don't know how to get there.
Yeah. And are there like common injuries that you see? I know you do. I feel like you're kind of a hybrid of, maybe we'll call it smart CrossFit. Smart, like functional.
I'm the anti-CrossFit CrossFitter.
Yes. Like smart CrossFit or like functional fitness, where it's like you do take a lot of that like athleticism and like things like that, but then kind of mix it with just smarter approaches essentially.
Yeah.
So I know there's kind of that, but is there a common injury that you see with those type of people, or maybe it's common nagging things that you see just from maybe like people sitting all day or anything like that?
Yeah. I think the most common ones for like people in a professional setting, team leaders, office workers and stuff like that, is lower back and kind of neck, shoulder issues.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFitters or those men and women that were involved in CrossFit or functional fitness style exercise will typically be knees or shoulders.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I know my issue was adductor in neck, which it was from yoga, right? And when I think
you have a very special injury.
Yes. And from sleeping on my neck wrong, which is just frustrating altogether. But I do think it probably ties back to some imbalances of strength or with that, especially with that adductors and stuff. But
it's surprising that, you know, because the reason why we see like more shoulders and knees and stuff in the CrossFit setting or that functional fitness setting is though, even though we call it functional fitness, everybody's moving in a very bilateral way. Yes. Like everything is up and down. Yes. It's squatting, or it's pulling. And it's very much this bilateral movement pattern where just over time, if you have an imbalance and you just do a crap load of squatting, eventually one side's going to be working, one side's going to be weaker, and then you're going to cause, there's going to be some issues. Yeah. So I think the lack of single leg unilateral work or just looking at imbalances, the lack of one side versus the other training in those functional settings is lacking.
I remember we had, this was many years ago, we had like sideways box jumps in a program. Then we typically didn't have that. And this was in a CrossFit class. And Aaron afterwards was like, Jenny, why are you looking so awkward doing that? And I was like, I've just never gone sideways before. And I didn't that type of sport, you know, like gymnastics, cheer. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. No like ball movements where you're having to go side to side. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good point that you bring up.
You know, that's the other thing. You know, we spend all of our time just moving forward. Nobody goes sideways or laterally or backwards. So when you are all of a sudden you're put into a setting where you have to do a run or a jump, or you have to move in a direction that you're not used to, even just something simple as a 400 meter run. And it could be that you're having to turn around on the spot and run backwards and forwards four times on 100 meters. If you're doing that sideways movement, stopping abruptly, turning around on a dime and trying to go off the other way, if you're not used to it, something's going to either hurt in a way that it shouldn't hurt, like your knee's going to hurt instead of your muscles around the knee, mm-hmm. or something bad's going to happen.
And I think that's a really good point, because thinking about vitality and long term, a lot of people get hurt when they're maybe, they turn or go down the stairs and take a step backwards.
Yeah.
And again, they're not proficient in that movement because mm-hmm, they never mm-hmm, do it. Mm-hmm. But then you're putting your body in a different position. Yeah. Or I know a lot of ladies or my mom who hurt themselves getting pots out of like a heavy skillet out mm-hmm, of the, mm-hmm. you know, behind, hidden behind all the other pots in a weird angle.
Yeah.
Right. So just for like long-term health, it's like something to consider too.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times people have said like, I hurt my hip or I hurt my knee or I hurt my wrist, because they've slipped.
Yeah.
Or something's happened where they've gone into a they've been forced into a direction that they're not used to. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, you can't predict if you're going to slip or something, but if you don't ever move in that direction, you know, if you're moving somewhere, if you move, train laterally and lateral movements in warm-ups or whatever it may be, and then all of a sudden you slip to the side and you catch yourself, you're less likely to have an injurious outcome from that.
Yeah, so good. So what is the goal of most of the people that you work with? From my experience, just the feeling of even bending down and picking up my shoe and putting it on my shoe, like going from injured to that, not even like I'm thinking about something else when that happens. And then after the fact, I was like, oh, that was glorious. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just that feeling of not being injured. Yeah. And that's one part of it. But then even in the gym, like, feeling like I'm progressing right and able to like really get after it and feel like I leave the gym being like, oh, I'm getting stronger, right? Like that feels so good to me. And I know that was something that I wanted to be injury free, but those like little things is what in the day to day was like, oh my gosh, this is so nice. Like maybe you have some more examples of things like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ultimate goal is, it's pain-free performance, but I think what gets lost is the word function in like normal day. You know, we talk about functional training, but what is the function that we're trying to improve, right? So And I also find that there's nothing more boring or like horrible than not progressing. Yes. Like results are king. Doesn't in a professional setting, whatever it is, if you're looking at your career, if you're not moving forward in your career, you know, you may feel like you are happy where you are, but you there may also become, you know, you may feel contempt where yeah. you are. You know, I feel good, but there also sometimes you're going to be like, well, I wish I could do a little bit more. I wish I could be, you know, better at this, or, you know, I want to progress. And it's the same with training or in other aspects of life as well. There's nothing worse than just kind of feeling stuck.
Yeah.
And when we look at training to improve function, we have to look at what the function is, what we're trying to improve. Many people will say, oh, bicep curls are not functional. But if it helps you get a pull-up, then it's improved your function to do a pull-up. So, yeah. you know, it's like you can't push something to a side because you don't think it's functional. You have to look at what function am I trying to improve? And if that is for yourself, you had an abductor injury that was limiting your day-to-day movement. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do things you enjoyed, like dancing. You couldn't just bend over and pick something up. You couldn't squat down. You couldn't do all these things that were just felt normal.
Yeah.
You know, things were much harder than they should be just from that. So getting you to a position where you could function normally was the goal. You know, that was great that happened. First and foremost, because that was what we were after. Now that you are functioning properly day to day, now we can layer on strength. Now we can layer on athleticism, you know. Yeah. So,
And I think there's a cool overlap, which we'll talk about in a second, because I think a lot of my ladies are like, they may be like a previous athlete, or right now they may feel like they're an athlete, which I feel like all my ladies, if you're training, you know, 4+ days a week and you're committed to it, I feel like you are an athlete. Yeah. But they want kind of a combination of this, I want to look good. Mm-hmm. I want to build mm-hmm. muscle, but I also want to kind of, they're a little competitive, mm-hmm. right? They want to perform, they want to improve. Yep. And whether that is in bicep curls or they are doing CrossFit, and they also want vitality, right? Mm-hmm. They want to function outside mm-hmm. of the gym. They want, yeah. you know, to chase their kids and all of that. So I feel like you have a cool approach on all of that. But before we get into that, what are these people like missing? If you like, for me personally, I just went through all this, so I feel like I have great examples, but I just didn't know what to do, right? I tried stop working out, and it's like, okay, well, maybe it's getting a little better. I'm not making it worse. That's how it felt like, but it wasn't getting better. Yeah. Or I would, you know, I saw a physical therapist and they were like, okay, you know, do this exercise and this exercise, but it was very like vague and soft versus like, okay, this many times, this times per week. And that at the end of this week, we're going to grade and then go next week, like guidance in container. I Googled a ton of things. I was finding programs on Google and just trying those, but I didn't have a lot of faith in it because I didn't really understand it and didn't really know it. So I was missing a lot, but what do you see that most people are missing?
I think the biggest one would be structure. But then also a lot of people, they don't have like, or they don't give themselves permission to still train. Mm-hmm. Like our mantra is within Wolverine protocol, which we'll get into later on as well. But the mantra is rehab is training. So people often find that when it's rehab or something like I've got an injury, I have to stop training. You know, you don't have to stop training. You may have to stop the exercise that caused the injury for some time, but you don't have to stop training. We have to, we have an AIM protocol, which as well inside, or an AIM framework, sorry, which is assess, identify, and modify. So with that, we obviously going to do an assessment. Mm-hmm. Where does it hurt? What did happen? What do you feel when you do X, Y, and Z? Like all of this stuff in this assessment protocol, we identify what you can't do, what you can do. And then we modify what we need to get you moving and training.
So this is awesome because this is, I do think what everyone's missing and definitely what I was missing in previous injuries. Cause again, I was like, oh, I'll just stop. And then beforehand, it's like, oh, I got to go to physical therapy where it's almost like, at least in the States, I feel like it's very separate where it's like personal trainer, build muscle and be athletic. And then your physical therapy is where you go in to a clinic setting where it's a lot of people who got injured who don't really train or don't want to be there. And then, you know, you have an hour session a week where it's like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to measure this, but it's like completely separate where, or okay, do this at home and you have like maybe a band at home or you're at the wall at home, like in your work clothes and like doing at the end of the day where you're like, oh, this is so boring. Mm-hmm. Where I thought it was great that you kind of combine the two where rehab is training, where I would go to the gym and do my training, but it didn't feel like, oh, I'm just doing boring rehab. Like I'm going in and I'm training. Yep. Now it may not have felt like I wasn't doing cleans and, you know, on the leg press and everything. Like some of it may have been more detailed or, you know, like a stretch or going through a range of motion, but just the perception change. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to actually have like, you know, I'm doing 3 sets of 10 here. And then I'm progressing next week, like being able to progress, that is so much more motivating. Being in the gym environment, I thought that was a huge game changer, which I don't see a lot. Do you see that a lot or do you feel like you're kind of?
No, I think you're right. There is this huge separation between, you know, you are either fit enough to train or you need to move over and just do physical therapy. You know, it's one of the two. And we're still in this mindset where it's like, oh, if I'm injured, I need to stop, remove myself and put myself over here into this, you know, this bucket. I'm injured. I can't do X. I can't do Y. And that's the mindset, like you said, when something does happen, it's I'm now out of this bucket. I'm in this bucket. I'm injured. I can't do X. I can't do Y. I can't do this. And you're always told that you can't do or shouldn't do. You don't get told what you can do. Mm-hmm. So that gap between rehab and performance, we integrate that because you can still do a lot of movements, a lot of exercises to train and get better. And we use the, you know, traditional strength and conditioning setup where we would go through an accumulation phase, like building up volume and then slowly increasing the intensity as we go through. Yep. We use a range of contraction types as well. Yep. I think, you know, when the old school thought of rehab training, of getting on your bands and doing all this work, it just doesn't work anymore. Like you said, one, it's boring. So people do it maybe twice and then don't do it anymore. And then 6 months later, they still wonder why their shoulder hurts or whatever. So we like to incorporate traditional strength training into a rehab or prehab setting.
Do you have an example of that? Just, I think we should go through the phases, for sure. Cause I think that was really awesome to see that there's a strategy behind it, but maybe we can kind of give a couple examples and maybe even from my program or someone else's program of what that would look like, because I think people can say, oh, well, I remember going to physical therapy and collecting marbles with my toes and moving them over.
Yeah.
And then I know when I go to the gym, I'm squatting. Mm-hmm. So like, what would be an example of something that rehab in training kind of combined?
Okay. So if we had like a lower limb injury, you know, we would start with let me backtrack. All of the three phases, we'd look at movement optimization. Mm-hmm. So kind of tissue healing around the injury and then training as much as we can other parts of the body and movements that we can. So
yeah, that's a good
we're
point.
Focused on the injured site for tissue healing and preparation for the other phases. And then we are still actively trying to train and maintain all of the other body muscle groups and
that's a good exercises. Point because again, like me, I was like, I just stopped training because I had both an upper body and a lower body injury. Whereas then when we started working together, it's like, all right, well, let's actually, you know, maybe we're rehabbing those specifics, but you can still do biceps. You can still do tricep. We can still do core. You can still do this, right? It was like, oh, I actually can still strength train a good portion of my body. And then the specific exercises, like I wasn't able to do squat, right? But then we were doing, I'm trying to think back of some of the specific ones that we were doing where, oh, we were working on like lengthening. So I was doing body weight, like lunges, right? But like tempo.
Long eccentrics,
So it's like I'm still doing kind of the same exercise, but it's very intentional. And there's even some where I was holding at the bottom to hold that stretch. So again, it's like I'm not just completely stopping, but I'm doing it in a way that is both healing.
I think what, like, as you mentioned before, of the bits that are missing and bridging the gap. When people are when people get injured, the idea of removing yourself from training and doing your rehab training, where you, because you're injured, you can't hit any level of intensity. But what we do is we incorporate different contraction types into all of the different phases, so that you can reach a level of intensity, but still keep you within in a safe range of loading. So when we're doing long eccentrics and you're looking at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds lengthening, you are creating way more stable and stronger structures, because the eccentric is in a strength training, the eccentric, you are able to handle way more load. But through rehab, what we do is we make the we force the body to create more strength and stability through those long eccentrics, which are harder to control.
And just to, for everyone listening, if you're not familiar with eccentric, essentially it is like a more detailed explanation of tempo work, right? Where
you're stretching slowly. Eccentric would be the lengthening of any muscle. So in a bicep curl, if your hand is up by the shoulder, as you extend your arm, you are eccentrically lengthening the bicep. If you are in a squat, as you sit down into the squat, you are eccentrically loading all of the muscles required in the squat. When we also do isometric holds as well to create that neurological adaptation, where
that's a good point, because same thing, like I couldn't contract my left glute. It's like I didn't have as much control over it, but when we did more and more of the holds, the mind muscle connection grew because of that.
So when we have when we use the isometrics and stuff, we're looking at a neural adaptation towards that specific range. And isometrics usually have a 5-degree carryover on each one. On that position. So if you're holding at 45, you'll get like 40 and 50 degrees, you know, sort of stuff. So it's not essentially great for, you know, building muscle or that kind of stuff. If you are just holding it, if you are holding and continuing through a repetition. So again, in the bicep curl, if you were to hold at 45 degrees and then continue on a repetition, hold again and so on, that can be beneficial for muscle growth because you're increasing tension throughout the muscle. But in a rehab setting, we also use that for creating neural adaptations and creating more awareness in that specific muscle group. So for yourself, it was doing yielding isometric. So there's a distinct difference between the two isometrics that we use. The yielding isometric is where you are pushing or pulling against an immovable object. So we were doing like a deadlift against pins, and we were pulling against that. We were trying to pull. You just try to pull as hard as you can, and it's not going to go anywhere. But what you're creating is those neural adaptations within all of the muscles required for extending the hips, like in a deadlift. The overcoming isometrics is where you would hold the bar. You would hold a weight at the desired position. And not allow it to move. So you're fighting against gravity or resistance from it moving. So, you know, if you were doing a deadlift, you might stop at the knee and then you would hold that and just try not to let it pull you down to the floor. So that would be an overcoming isometrics. And then a yielding isometric is where you're pulling against or pushing against something immovable.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I'm learning so much.
The yielding isometrics is more used for those neurological adaptations.
In more like rehabbing and injuries.
Rehabbing and stuff, yeah.
Okay. And the other thing I noticed is that I loved, and my ladies know that I love having a strategy.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that is like should be the foundational thing of everyone's offer. But I loved how you're like, okay, phase one is going to be this. Yeah. Phase two is going to be this. And phase three. Can we just walk through those so people get an idea of, oh, there's a strategy to rehabbing?
Yeah. So we call it, we have the Wolverine protocol. And essentially what it is a three-phase prehab and performance protocol. The first phase, we look at movement optimization, tissue healing, and then we go into an accumulation phase and then an intensification phase. Essentially what each one is, the movement optimization phase is looking at improving function, optimizing more movements that could have resulted in the injury because it's not always something with the injury that caused the injury. So basically, yeah, we're looking at improving function in the first one. Then we're going to look at building more muscle and improving our capacity, our work capacity in the accumulation. And then in the intensification, that's where we kind of, that's where we would build strength and really ramp up that strength metric or that would be our kind of sport specific carryover as well, where we go into more sport related movement. If anybody was, you know, into, if anybody was part of a team or an individual sport.
So I remember when we got to add in jumping. They're like jumping squats, essentially. And I was like, oh, look at this. We are moving along.
Yeah. So again, it would be, even if we don't have a sport to play, the idea of being athletic is not just reserved for people that play sports.
Yeah.
You know, there is a, there's a very specific physical, mental, and emotional component to being an athlete that I think a lot of people can resonate with, especially people that are high performers and very, very goal driven.
Yep.
They, you know, they look at athletes as, you know, the top tier of people that get shit done.
Yes.
And like a very, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
They're like, I know what you
they're
mean.
They're like top tier, you know.
Yeah,
like
the elite.
If you were elite.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would look at your, you know, you look at your Tom Brady's, your Kobe Bryant's, rest in peace. Like all of these top level, Michael Jordan's, all of these top level athletes that you look at and people admire. If we just take 10% of what they are, you know, what they do on a regular basis, then, you know, we improve our lifestyle tenfold.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain level of eliteness that comes with being an athlete. And I think if we can just take a small piece of that for ourselves, and you know, this is why we built Athlete GPP the way it is. It's that so we can really focus on being more athletic and take traits from that in all aspects, not just the training, but in habits, in mindset, the attitude, the way we speak to ourselves, the way we move forward with training, careers, lifestyle, relationships, everything.
Yeah. Something that I talked to my ladies about is like treating yourself like an athlete, right? Like think of how well these elite athletes like prioritize and take care of their body, right? Like thinking of us the same way, because you guys are athletes.
Yeah.
So that may mean, you know, thinking of recovery and like, oh, I actually do need that sports massage. Oh, I do need that added supplement. Oh, I do need to hire that trainer. Oh, I am going to add, you know, these shoes or whatever it is to like treat yourself like an athlete. And then that's how you also perform and look as well. Yeah. And I love how you said that applies like across the board in people's lives and does really represent who they are. I know when I see someone who is like either good at whether it's CrossFit or any other competition, or their physique represents that, like they walk into the door and it screams work ethic, right? Mm-hmm. And it just represents who they probably are in other areas of life. Yeah. So good.
It comes down to it's high quality inputs, high quality outputs, and that's for everything. You know, if we listen to garbage, then our attitude is going to be garbage.
Yeah.
If we eat garbage, our outcome's going to be garbage. Like our body, our mood, everything's going to be garbage. And if we train like garbage, then eventually we're going to feel like garbage as well. So
very true. Okay, bringing it back to that strategy, just to recap, can you say the three phases again? And then give us an estimate about how long people spend in each phase, because I'm sure it varies, but just to kind of wrap our heads around, okay, how long until I get back to baseline?
Yeah. So within the Wolverine protocol, we have phase one would be movement optimization or tissue healing. So again, we're looking at improving the function and working around with the injured site. And then we move into a traditional accumulation phase and an intensification phase.
Okay.
Now, each one would be around 4 weeks.
Okay.
So we plan for 4 weeks, but, you know, again, it all depends on how well the body responds. And, you know, I think 3 to 4 weeks is a good time frame, especially considering that we do the same training over time to make sure that we're getting the adaptation that we want, you know?
Yep.
Even, you know, the days of, or the thinking of muscle confusion, you know, it's kind of taking a back seat at the minute, even at high level CrossFit. You know, CrossFit is now becoming sport specific for the top 1%. And then throughout their off season, they're doing very structured training.
Right.
And then competition season is more sport specific. So, you know, it from a rehab and performance setting, as we build on each phase, we're looking at starting as high as possible up the chain. You know, we don't want to regress people so much that it becomes boring and they don't do the work. But we also have to be able to progress it at some point. So, and we don't want to progress it too quickly. We don't want to progress it too late. We need to be able to look at all that biofeedback and make sure that we're moving appropriately. So, you know, if we plan for 12 sessions in a 4 week period, but you're only able to get 8 of them, then we may need to push it to, you know, 5-6 weeks to make sure you get the level of adaptation that we want.
So it's all based on how people are progressing and then adjust, which is nice to have a personal coach to review that and check in with. And again, so different than my previous experience doing physical therapy, which I've done a lot in my life, and just going in and they give you, okay, do, 30 seconds 2 times a day. Yeah. And then you're just doing that same exercise for a month or two.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, again, it's like changing rehab is training. So how are we progressing? How are we measuring it? Mm-hmm. How is the body adapting? And how are we doing that weekly? Right.
Yeah. So you have to look at, like, again, if people are involved in sports or recreational activities that they enjoy doing and the injury is taking them away from that, then eventually we have to look at how we can improve the training to get back into that. You know, so I had a previous client that was into boxing. And one of the things that was limiting the rehabilitation was that they were never looking at any rotational stuff. So, you know, everything was very linear and very old school. And it's like, well, you're always going to either A, re-injure yourself, or you're not going to be able to get back into boxing because you're not putting any structure into getting into rotation work again. So once we started to put rotation into her training and improving the function again of rotation and looking at this, you know, that staggered stance and rotating through the hips and the torso and all of these things that were applicable to the sport or the recreational activity, the rehab went through the roof. You know, she had spent like 6 or 7 months doing this physio to get her back to playing, to boxing, but she still hadn't gotten anywhere, you know? And then I think it was like 6 weeks later, she was able to start training again with her boxing coach. And, you know, it was just the missing link after 6 months was adding in something that was much more specific to where she wanted to go.
Okay. Two things here that stand out to me. One I didn't mention before, physio, I actually don't know if that's a familiar term in the States. To me, it wasn't. Maybe it is to other people. Mm. But things like chiropractor, ART or active release therapy, where they like dig into the muscle, or sports massage or acupuncture, like all these different things, I think they do have their place, right? But kind of like what you're saying, it's like if you just do that and you heal it, okay, great. But what about actually how are you not going to redo it? Like addressing the root cause, right? And that could be like I've done structural integration, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think was great. And I would do it again, but again, for a specific reason, but I still have to address the why am I hunching over when I'm on my laptop, right? And then is it because my back's not strong enough? And then in my training, I need to have that to be able to correct. So I think that's a really good point to addressing the root cause in your training. And the other thing you mentioned, which was now that I've lost it. Oh, it goes right into my next question, which is how long should people at all continue components of the rehab into their training after they're healed? Yeah. And if so, how long, or what does that typically look like?
Yeah, I think with the best thing to do with that is to what we're doing inside the rehab setting is improving function, and there might be there's more focus on improving that. Mm-hmm. Once we've got the adaptation we want, it's just about keeping it. So, you know, once you've got into a, you know, once you got into 100 kilo back squat, if that's all you need to do for your sport, there's no, you know, if going heavier is going to make you slower and you need to be fast for your sport, there's no need, but all you need to do is keep that level of adaptation.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we go through the Wolverine protocol and we've done all of the steps that we need to, we're going to take the lowest hanging fruit or the biggest bang for your buck movements and keep them in a, in your training for like your warm ups and everything like that to prep and make sure that you are moving well, and keeping that level of adaptation going through.
And we can use an example from mine. So at the beginning of my rehab, like something that was very challenging for me, it was almost like the main part of my exercise was doing, what are they called? Copenhagen's, which is, if you're not familiar, imagine you put your feet or your knees on a bench and then you kind of do a side plank, bringing your bottom leg up. So it's very hard on the adductor. I mean, at the beginning, that was very challenging for me. And it was like, whew, that was the workout. And now that's just part of my warm up, right? So I still have that in there, but it's very easy now.
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to think is that the best movements that help to heal it will be the best movements to keep to prevent it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And so on the flip side of that, what about injury prevention? Are there things that people should be considering in their program? And it might be a collection of things that you've kind of already said to make sure they don't get hurt.
The two things that I would suggest the most is vary the contractions. Mm. So, and focus on tempo. So, like really, really slowing down the eccentric, of all of the movements will have a massive turnover for how well you move. You get way more awareness of how you're moving as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're moving really fast through movements, you don't really experience like this feeling of, well, this feels a little bit off, or this feels here, this feels here. And you end up you know, you end up hurting in places that you shouldn't really hurt, you know. My first 3 years of CrossFit, like I had pain in places where I knew I shouldn't have pain, but I kept on going back anyways.
As we do.
You know, when I was much younger. So now, you know, it's like movements are a little bit more slower. Movements are controlled. There's more awareness now. I can move fast, but that's because I've built the base.
Yeah.
And again, you know, as we go through those phases within the Wolverine protocol, that's what it's about. It's about building a base. It's about improve. Then once we've got the base built, and the bigger the base, the higher the pyramid, right? So we build a nice, strong and big base. Then we layer on work capacity, and then we layer on the strength.
Yep. So tempo, isos, those are kind of the main eccentric tempo.
Isometrics we can use, you can use, but I would really get people to slow down first,
yeah.
And then way more unilateral work for preventative work. Unilateral work for just purely because, you know, everybody has got muscular imbalances. You really, unless you are a full-time athlete, you're never really going to get rid of it. It's just, you know, however you are born, how you were decided to crawl, how you decided to walk, everything it dictates from the very, very beginning of life. You
know? So many of my ladies get DEXA scans and they're like, oh, I am lopsided, my right arm and my left leg. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. And for most people, that's the case.
You're never going to be 100%. Like it's just, I think it's physically impossible. I'm not really sure, right? But so there's that. And then the third one I would say is to have multi-direction. Move forward, move side to side, and move backwards.
Yeah. And could that be as simple as you're not always lunging, walking forward, you're lunging to the side, you're lunging
just
backwards.
Just simple thing. Like even in warm-ups, doing the A skips and the B skips sideways, and we were doing sideways movements remember, in the warm-ups.
Yeah.
As we start to so for Jenny, as we were moving through the phases, we started to incorporate some low-level plyometrics to get her back to athletic movements and jumping and stuff like that.
Felt like a football player. And, American football player.
Not soccer. American football.
High knees going side to side.
So that would be a low-level plyometric drill. You know, people think of it as just warming up for running.
Yeah.
But it's a low-level plyometric. We're getting the body, we're getting the ankles, the knees, the hips, the abductors, everything used to like rebounding quickly off the floor.
Yep.
In a very controlled low-level setting, because we're not trying to jump off. We're just doing the running man moving forward.
Yeah, I loved it because it was kind of like a combination of, dance.
Yeah.
But then also like an athlete. Like I felt like everyone in the gym was looking at me being like, oh, what sport does she play? Yeah.
And then we did that stuff. Then we made sure you were safe. We started to move forward. And then we started with the forward movement, and we built some capacity with that. We started moving laterally as well.
Yeah. And it was fun to see when we were moving laterally. I remember at first I was like, ooh, I feel kind of like out of control, especially with my left hip.
Yep.
And then, because we had it in our program, like it was structured, right? Yep. And it was repeating it. And then, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I'm a little control, a little more. And it just, again, progressing in that, what makes it fun, like as an athlete. So the other thing I wanted to add on, which you mentioned earlier, is tempo work. Mm. So a lot of my ladies work out in their garage, right? And they're doing things like deadlifts and they're like, I'm a little scared to go too heavy, which obviously you have to make sure it forms right and all of that. But I get that. And so something that I typically recommend, you can tell me if this is good advice, is to add in tempo, right? Mm. So kind of like we talked about, you can get so much more out of a lower weight by adding in tempo work or eccentric tempo where you're, you know, 5 seconds, 6 seconds lower. Is that something that you would suggest too?
Yeah, you can also, so if you want to increase the intensity throughout and without increasing the load, you could slow down, especially the eccentric. The eccentrics, we're looking at 110 to 130% more strength in an eccentric loading. If you wanted to, you know, obviously the concentric action is going to be much more difficult. So we're not expected to load that heavy and then do the concentric as well, which would be the contraction of the muscle. So If they were able to slow it down, so if they have like 80% on the bar of their one rep max and, you know, do a 6, 7, 8 second eccentric lowering from the top of the hip, keep tension all the way down, gently touch the floor, stand straight back up again, you know, that 80% where you, you know, typically get 6 or 7 reps and you feel pretty good, it's going to feel like now that is going to feel like a 95, 100%, but obviously you're increasing your work capacity to that. So you're increasing the intensity.
It feels a lot harder than that, but I believe you. It feels so much harder.
Yeah. The other thing is like reducing the range of movement. I think a lot of people, especially women, they're not often told that they can reduce the range of movement. You know, it's like, if you want to increase the weight, but you're scared of the movement, then bring it up a little bit, you know, reduce the range of movement, lift heavier in a shorter range and feel safe, and then slowly bring it down.
So that might be a good option, let's say, for back squats in at home in your garage, building something up. So that way, even if you fail it, right, you can just walk away.
As long as you are as long as you are still moving through full ranges of movement at some point, you can do partial ranges of movement and increase your strength exponentially.
Yeah.
You know.
So I feel like the variation's really good for obviously performance wise, rehab wise, and injury prevention, but it's also one of the main things that I did in comparison to CrossFit to my first bikini show and adding in tempo work to help build muscle. So I feel like this, like it's benefits across the board for also your physique and building muscle too.
Yeah. I think the, you know, as well, if you are increasing the intensity of your training, you also need less training.
Yeah.
You know, people, and still there is a lot of more is better. Well, more of what? Like if you are already doing like 8 to 10 exercises and you're doing 3 to 4 sets of 10 exercise or 6 to 8 exercises and you're doing 10 reps of each one, that's a lot of work already. And by the time you get to exercise 5, 6, 7, and 8, you've not got enough energy left.
Yeah.
So it's going to be poor quality of work. If you increase the intensity, which is by far the greatest mover of stimulus and adaptation, then you don't need as much because you're pushing that intensity and you're creating adaptation through that. So you could probably get away with 3 or 4 exercises, you know.
Speaking my language, work smarter, not harder.
Work smart and hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You know, it's not one or the other, or it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can, but it's if you are going to work hard, make sure you work smart.
Yes.
If you work smart, you know, make sure that it's also to a certain level of intensity.
Yeah, because there's so many. I mean, this used to be me too. 6 days a week, you know, 2-a-days, and just burning the candle at both ends, and then you get stressed or tired and you're setting yourself up for injury. Yeah. And now I'm lifting, you know, 4 days a week and healing my injuries and getting stronger. Yeah. And I definitely look way better than I did back then. Obviously, you know, nutrition, recovery, all that plays a role too. But to your point, apply all of that through all aspects of fitness, but definitely too with your training. So speaking of training, I'm curious on your thoughts about this, but I think there's so many benefits to having a one-on-one coach for different things in your life, but for your training. But at the same time, I don't think everyone should run, like, you have to have a one-on-one coach to make progress. There are so many great programs out there, but I do want to, and a lot of my ladies, right, they're already on a training program, and that's great. We optimize nutrition, but I do think there's a place for one-on-one training and that people just aren't aware of the benefits. So for example, I have one lady who, this was a handful of months ago, and she was struggling to progress in her lifts and building muscle because she's like, I have to modify. I'm on this training program, which was great. But because I have this injury and this injury, I have to modify everything that then I'm spending my time like looking up how to modify it. And then it takes too long and then I can't finish it. And then it's kind of just dragging on where I'm like, this is a perfect example for having a coach, but yeah, especially what you do where you're combining both performance, yeah, athletic, muscle building in rehabbing. So what are some of the benefits you see specifically for hiring a one-on-one coach? I know that's one. Another one, which I feel like a lot of my ladies don't really, I would say, suffer with the term like accountability, but I will say you're always going to perform better if you know someone's looking at your stuff every week. It's having to answer someone. It's just going to be a big difference. What else do you see?
I think, you know, just the big thing with that is, and I think you hit the nail on the head, is where, you know, the lady was always having to try and modify, but she was wasting time not knowing how to modify or where to go. So having a coach to give, like, in your corner for that sort of thing, you know, especially the way that we look at the assessment, the investigation on that, and then the modification, and we're trying to find what you can do at an individual level. You know, it's if there is an injury, if there is you know, something stopping you, if there is pain, then, you know, it's easy to avoid, but then you just make it worse. Mm-hmm. So having the structure and having somebody that's able to look at how to move you forward and keep you progressing with that, rather than wasting time on looking, Googling stuff or looking on YouTube, especially if you're there at the gym and you just want to train. And if you are a high performer, you know, you've got this, you don't want to be wasting time. You know, that's not who you are. You want to be more efficient and effective. And if you are in a setting where you are injured and you need to progress and you want to progress, you want that pain-free performance, having somebody to back you up and give you that structure, definitely. On the flip side of that, though, there is a lot of kind of lower level injuries that are more just pain management, mm-hmm, you know, like the like lower back stuff. Like, there is some serious lower back issues, mm-hmm, but predominantly in office workers, it's just stiffness through hips and short hamstrings, tight hip flexors, that sort of stuff. So unless there's been like very specific trauma, it's something that can be, you know, quote unquote, generically fixed through a strategic, still a strategically planned progression model, but things like that are just more, you know, you're probably okay with a program to follow that is more generic.
Yeah, I think too, when you're at a point where you have a specific goal, right, or maybe you even feel stagnant, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, you want someone like reviewing form, or you're learning a new movement, or like for me, when I went from CrossFit to bikini shows, I hired a coach, mm-hmm, because I was doing all new movements, right? Mm-hmm. And same thing, like you said, it's like, I want to get the most bang for my buck. Yeah. I want to get the best use of my time. Yeah. So I know during that time, it really helped for me. And then I think too, having, like when you're progressing, having someone to make adjustments, right?
Yeah.
Like, so for example, like we were like, all right, we're ready to build. Let's go ahead. And we went to a new training block, and then I'm like, oh no, I'm not ready for this. I'm so sore. Yeah. And then we were able to be like, okay, we see how your body's responding. We can just make adjustments. And if we didn't have, like, if I didn't have someone to have that conversation with, right, then I probably would have, okay, I'm on this training program, but I'm super sore. I can't do this. And then same thing at this point, we're like, what do I do? But now we're able to kind of adapt and to like customize, right, for where I'm at and what I need. So I find that scenario to be beneficial too.
Yeah, it's less about the accountability, but more about the why behind the progression, or how to progress and when to progress. And like you're saying, like, oh, I'm super sore. And we talked about it. It was like, well, let's see how it responds, because there is, you know, even in a rehab setting, and this is also kind of often mistaken at points, that there is a certain level of pain that could be associated with training in a rehab setting, that is, even at a physiotherapy level, there is still a certain amount of pain that is acceptable in training. But it's the 24 hours, 48 hours afterwards that we look at modifying again. Like, so if you are, you know, like you say, you're following this program, but something, you know, something happens, or you still feel sore, you're not sure if that's a good thing. Like, who do you ask? You ask Google. Google will tell you you've got toe cancer. You know, so it's like, you know, you don't really know. So having somebody there, like you did, you just said, oh man, I'm super sore. You know, I know we're supposed to go up, but I'm not sure. We're like, just give it a moment. And then I think at one point we talked because you said you had pain in the session.
Yeah. So this was earlier on. And again, remember my previous MO was like, if there's pain, stop. Right. Where I was telling you there's pain, and then, but you were like investigating, right? Like what kind of pain? And then you sent over a scale, which is really helpful of describing, okay, one through 10, what number are you at? But each number kind of put you in a category and explained what it was. Yeah. So then we can say, if you're here, we want to find out why. If you're here, that's okay. And we can keep going through.
Yeah.
So it just got me more comfortable and confident doing movements versus just kind of being scared of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Great point. You know, being confident within that training setting is another goal that we're looking at achieving. You know, not only do we want to build structure, but we want to make sure that the athlete is confident to move forward. And if we can understand what we're doing, you know, even if we're not injured, if we're in a training session and we do not understand why we are doing that training session, then it becomes inherently more tedious.
Yes.
Because we don't know why we're doing it. And if something is hard and we're not sure why we're doing it, and it's just hard, it's very easy to just push it to the side. It's like, fuck, this is hard. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And you don't do it. One, you don't have anybody to be accountable to. Two, you don't know why you're doing it. It's just, and three, it's hard and it sucks. And you don't, because I don't have the why and I don't have the accountability, I really need to do it if it sucks.
Yes. And I feel like that, you know, something that where both our programs align is education and really empowering our clients to have that why behind it, because then you're so much more bought in. And then if something happens, you can start making decisions. You know, and for example, for my lady's nutrition, right? Oh my gosh, I made this meal, but now I have to skip it. Now I'm out. What do I do?
Yeah.
Where maybe there is a scenario there. It's like, oh crap, didn't realize I had this meeting now I've got, you know, 15 less minutes in my training session. I can decide what's most impactful now.
Yeah.
So the education to be empowered, right, I think is good.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, you have very similar clientele to mine. And in terms of, we work with both male and female. I know I work with just ladies, but so many of them have issues where a nagging injury, or maybe an injury that they have to now can't do lower body, or things like that along the way. Or maybe they want to just fine tune what they're doing, or improve performance, or have that, like we talked about, that accountability for getting to the weeds of training.
Yeah.
So you have been very generous and are offering something for all of my Create Your Shape ladies, current and alumni. Can you share a little bit more about that? And listen up, ladies, because you only have 2 weeks to take him up on this offer, and I would highly recommend it. So can you share a little more about what you're offering?
Yeah. So we are going to give you guys and girls, should I say, a pain-free performance consult, absolutely free. And from that pain-free consult, you are going to get a 21-day strategy as part of our Wolverine protocol. So we will look at We'll look at asking you a few questions within the consult. We will require some movement assessment videos and stuff. But after that, you will get a 21-day free protocol to eliminate pain and move better.
Yeah, which 21 days, I mean, that could heal someone, but it may be phase one or maybe phase, you know, kind of like we talked about going through the first phase. But feeling better in just a couple of weeks, like, was exactly what happened to me. Yeah. And just the feeling like, oh, I'm going in and I'm training and I'm progressing was a game changer. Yeah. And then to be able within that first couple of weeks to be able to put on my shoe without, you know, even thinking about it was such a game changer. And then knowing like, oh my gosh, this is just the beginning. And like, I can do so much more with this, was so beneficial. So ladies, I would highly suggest taking them up on this, especially if you're someone who has an injury or working through a nagging injury, or even if you are like, okay, you know, I can still train, but this has been bothering me. Definitely suggest taking them up on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just for injuries, like specific injuries. Like this has happened to me. If you have, if you have issues with, like pain in movements, like for years, I had some pain in my shoulder when doing bench press. So I had to fix my own shoulder. So again, I avoided bench press for a while because I couldn't figure it out until I did figure it out. Now my bench press is back up. It's a movement I don't enjoy, but I do it every now and again. But yeah, so even if there is something that is just, you know, specific in terms of a movement, oh, my knee bothers me when I squat, or my hip does this when I do the X, Y, or Z, doesn't have to be injured. You don't have to be injured to take me up on this offer. Just if there's anything that kind of bothering you, then jump on this, jump on the consult. We'll get a 21-day protocol for you to follow. And then I forgot before, we will have a follow-up call just to see how everything is going.
Yeah.
All of that free of charge.
So nice because free of charge, you guys. Absolutely. Come on. Like if this is where you're at, I say this because I was at a place where I was just lost and confused and frustrated, right? And I really know that specialized in this. And luckily Henham was like, hey, you should probably like check it out. And that's kind of what we did, right? Yeah. You kind of did with me like the like a 21-day, might have even been longer than that, but I guess I was special. longer than that of helping me. And then I realized like, oh my gosh, this is what I was missing. Yeah. And so it's just like made me progress so much faster where I'm like, okay, I know so many of my ladies are in this position and you were nice enough to offer this. So I appreciate that. And so this is for Create Your Shape ladies, either you're currently in Create Your Shape or you are alumni. And you can sign up for this at the link in my bio, right? You just have the link and it'll take you to jump on a call with you to go over the specifics of where you're at, where you're feeling the pain, and start discussing what movements would be beneficial in putting together that game plan. And then you have a follow-up call, which is so nice because, again, going back to like the like physical therapy type setting where it's just like, oh, here you go, do some vague stuff, see you never.
Yeah.
That's really nice that you're kind of closing the loop too, or just like bringing back the discussion of where we're at, where are we progressing.
Yeah.
The last thing would be, where can people learn more about you, follow your stuff, hear more about what you do? And even if they're just like, I just want to sign up with you, where can they do that?
Instagram. That is pretty much where I reside at the moment. If you go to Instagram, it is I am Coach Bolts, and you'll find everything there.
Bolts is BOLTZ.
Yes. Correct? Yep. BOLTZ because I am 40, but I still think I'm cool.
in England, you guys use Z's S's instead of Z's. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay, but I guess you're anti-England.
I want to be American. Yeah. I do. I want to be American so badly.
Oh my gosh. We could do a whole episode on that and the jokes we have on that.
Freedom units.
Okay, so quick side note. Freedom units is what Matt calls pounds, miles, yep. and Mississippis.
Yeah, and Mississippis.
Mississippis. Yep. So for all this tempo work that I'm doing, I've had to figure out how not to cut myself short. And when I, you know, when you get tired or you're strained, you're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then you're done. So adding in like the old school, like back in the day, you know, play hide and seek. It's like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. So I've started doing that. And I definitely think it helps, but it's definitely another freedom unit.
Definitely another freedom unit for sure. For sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for this generous offer for all the Create Shape ladies.
My pleasure.
All right.
Pleasure. Thank you.
See you next week on the Create Shape podcast.
Hey, if you work out and want to look like you work out, then you need to be in the Create Your Shape program. Learn more and get started at jennythenutritionist.com/create-your-shape. You can also follow me on Instagram for more content at Jenny the Nutritionist.